Blog Talk Radio.
And it doesn't look like the music is going to kick in. Oh, and there it is. Talk about squirrely.
Ask me, Shelly, too.
Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I am your host, Lisa Watson, having a fun time working the music tonight, so pardon the delay there. It was via satellite, I'm sure. We have such a great show tonight. We have two, not one, but two authors as guests tonight. They have written an exciting new urban fantasy together and have been friends for more than four decades. Talk about knowing everything about somebody. They both grew up in Los Angeles, California, and they share a passion for mystery and science fiction. This passion led them to create the forever young and beautiful Daughter of Darkness, Lucinda. In addition to co-authoring their novel, Devil's Daughter, Lucinda's Pawn Shop, which is book one, they produce such titles as Bloody Proof and El Grito, a dual-language, straight-to-video detective film shot in English and in Spanish. They also produced the 2001 Image Awards 200 episodes of the syndicated home improvement television show Home Magazine, Humphrey the Bear for Galavision, and others. During their careers, the two have held various positions in the entertainment industry. Paul, the position of Executive Vice President of Operations for Wilshire Court Productions, a Viacom television production company, as well as President of Paloma Productions, specializing in dual language programming for television and film production. My other guest was also an entrepreneur owning Post Solutions, a video post-production facility and electronic locations production, a mobile television production company, as well as Command Concepts, a full-service advertising agency. That's a lot. So we're going to get to the show tonight because I'm sure they have a lot to talk about. So it's my pleasure to welcome Hope Schenck de Michelle and Paul Marquez to the show. Hi, y'all.
Well,
Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, thank you both for joining me this evening. And since we have the pleasure with chatting with both of you tonight, I'll be posing questions to both of you, kind of like in a round-robin sort of fashion, but feel free to jump in anywhere you'd like. So I'm going to pose the first question to Hope. Hope, can you tell listeners a little bit about yourself and how you kind of began writing?
Well, you pretty much told it all up front, so that's what I've been doing for a long, long time. And when you say four decades, we're really not that old. It just, you know, we just don't like to tell people how old we are. It makes it sound like we're ancient. But in any case, Paul and I have, as like you already said, we've been friends forever, and probably for more than 10 years. We would get together. We'd say, "What if we did this idea?" We've always wanted to do our own shows. So we've been writing together all that time. We have been coming up with different reality shows, different dramas, different game shows, things like that. And we've actually just been writing and writing and writing for many, many years, always with the hope that something would stick and that we would end up starting our careers, a different career, opening up the door to a different avenue. And certainly that's what we've done with Lucinda's Pawn Shop.
Wow. Now, Paul, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, some things I may not have covered already?
Well, certainly. I have brown eyes and brown hair, so that goes to show you that I'm not that old. And like you did say previously, I did hold the position of Executive Vice President of Operations for Wilshire Court, which we produced over 100 movies for television for USA Network, NBC, ABC, CBS, all on a low budget, and we did a lot of movie of the weeks for the major networks. I was also hired to come on to see if we could create some sort of a movie night for the Spanish language television show networks like Univision. And But because programming for the Univision Network is such low dollar, it really didn't make much sense to do television movies when they could certainly get novellas out of Colombia and out of South America and Mexico for very, very, very little dollar. And their audience seems to like the same sorts of programming. So that's really kind of where that stayed. And as Hope has mentioned, you know, we have been friends forever, and we spend a lot of time talking about projects and what we can do and what we can sell and what's different about it. And we've been in the industry for a long enough time together where we know how difficult it is to take a project and finish it and then try to sell it. It's very, very difficult. It's not easy. But we love it. It's a passion of ours. We're committed to it. And we do it every day. We talk every day. I Hope is actually married, but I'm kind of her second husband, and it's one of those things where her husband has to tolerate it. So
exactly.
There you go.
That's awesome. Now,
he loves
double,
Paul too.
Well, that's a good thing, and that
sorry,
certainly
Rich.
makes your jobs a lot easier, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Now, Devil's Daughter, Lucinda's Pawn Shop, book one, was not just a collaborative effort between the two of you. You also enlisted the help of best-selling author Maya Catherine Bonhoff as a collaborator. So for many listeners out there that may not know, Maya is a New York Times best-selling author of science fiction, fantasy, and alternate history. So can you tell us how Maya became involved and also what the creative process was like for the three of you working together?
I'll jump in on that one. What happened was Paul and I have been living with Lucinda and gave birth to her a long, long time ago. she started off as a TV drama, and we have actually written many, many episodes for that TV drama. And then we got it to a certain point where we both looked at each other and went, you know, this needs to be bigger. We need some advice, because we didn't have a lot of credits or many credits at all in the drama area of things. We'd been doing reality and games and things like that. So we thought, let's just go to a consultant. Let's find out what we need to do. And that consultant said, because it's sci-fi fantasy, you need to make this a bigger story. You need to turn it into a book, to make it a novel. And we both looked at each other and went, well, we've never done that one before. So through this consultant, he introduced us to Maya. And thank goodness, Maya's been great. She helped us bring the entire concept into a bigger mode. She helped us put it into the arc. She helped us put it into a literary form. And how that worked is because Paul and I work so well together. We're on the phone all the time. Not that we don't always see each other, but more times than not, the way we work is to have our computers in front of us. And we literally write together. One of us taking notes, we're making changes, but we're talking about each line together. Well, what we did is that ended up being a three-step process. We would go away, we'd read things, we'd make changes, Maya would make suggestions, and then we would be together when we'd all be talking about whether we could accept it, live with it, could Lucinda have gone in that direction, could she say certain things, and all three of us had to sign off on it before anything would move forward. So it's a little bit of a slow process, but it's certainly something where we all feel good about what turned out.
Yeah, and I think the process is one that you'll find is unique to Hope and I. I don't think that most teams write that way, but it's a way that Hope and I have always written together, and we just feel that at the end of the day, if we're going to write, let's say if we write 10 pages, and at the end of those 10 pages we're satisfied with it, we can move on, and then we know it's done. Well, we're not just leaving it hanging, and we're thinking, well, how, you know, what's this, what's that, whatever. So it's just kind of the way we work, and it works well for us, and it works, and that's how we work on all our projects.
Right. Very cool.
Nice. Now, Hope, can you tell us more about the story, Lucinda's Pawn Shop, and what's that about? And Paul, of course, you can jump in as well.
Well,
Paul,
you jump in.
Yeah, you do that one first, and then I'll jump in. How's that?
Well, Lucinda's Pawn Shop really is kind of like a spider's web for Lucifer. I mean, he's the proprietor of the shop, and he had gifted the shop to Lucinda. And everything in this particular pawn shop has an attached evil soul to it, and for good reason, because, you know, Lucifer has many plots against mankind. is angry at God. He wants to show that the mankind is not worth salvaging. So what he tries to do is to bring people into his shop that are at moral crossroads to try to sell them an artifact that he can help then use them through this artifact as a soldier for him to actually perpetrate a crime or to help tumble a domino effect that will lead to another domino effect. And so it's one of those things where it's a shop that not anybody would walk into. You'd have to be at a moral crossroads. You'd have to be one of someone that Lucifer believes that he can manipulate. And the shop appears anywhere in the world. It can appear in any neighborhood and morphs right into the neighborhood. You would think it was always there.
But his goal, Lucifer has a goal, and we don't really want to say any more about
right.
that. You'll have to buy
sure.
the book. But in any case, his daughter is Lucinda. She's the daughter of Lucifer and Eve, and she manages the pawn shop. But remember, he's raised her for the majority of her life. She has good in her soul because she lived with her mother for the first 5 years, a little bit of the backstory. And
right.
With that, she's always trying to thwart what her father is trying to do. So there's the good and evil in it. And so you've got that going back and forth. She's trying to keep it in secret, but there's a lot of things. We go back in history sometimes and show how in history Lucifer had the ear of particular people who have done heinous things in history. And then in other cases, if good things have happened, it's because Lucinda's managed to get her touch on it and change things, fix it so Lucifer couldn't do those bad things.
Yeah, and as an example of that, and we can probably share this with you as an example of that, where Lucifer was able to manipulate and convince Hitler and his generals to do the bad deed that they had done during the 30s to the Jews and rounding them up in Europe. Lucinda was able to save Winston Churchill from death in order to bring the Americans into the war to help save mankind. So it's things like that. So it's an interesting story. Lucinda's very unique. Like Hope mentioned, she is the daughter of God's first created female, Eve, and not of Adam, but of Lucifer. And for us, this is the reason why they were expelled from the Garden of Eden. This is the mortal sin that was created.
Right. And so it's interesting that, and not surprising, that he kind of preys upon people when they're at their lowest and weakest point and they're more susceptible to coercion. And I do love the fact that the pawn shop moves around. It kind of reminds me of Howl's Moving Castle, where it blends right into the scenery and it's someplace different everywhere it goes. And so I really think that's interesting. So tell me, is this book, is there going to be, how many books are going to be in the series? And can you tell listeners about that or not so much right now?
Well, there's three planned. We already have the overall arc for all three, individual arcs for each of the additional two that will be coming out. Who knows if it goes on past that? Hopefully a lot of people will buy the books and want more.
the book cover is definitely eye-catching, as is the website. Did you two have creative input into both of those designs?
We did.
We did.
Designed our, Paul and I worked with an artist, and we did our website. Although Bird Street is our publisher, they had a lot of input into the book cover, but they gave us equal say. They gave us, we chose the artist. We had a lot of different choices from that artist as to what to do, and then everybody talked about it as a collaborative effort, even with the publisher at that point. And so Bird Street Books is amazing. They are so easy to work with. They have given us so much support as far as publicity and helping us get interviews like with you, that sort of thing, and also being wonderful as far as what we want to do with the book.
Yeah,
which
we've been very fortunate with Bird Street Books. I mean, they're amazing. It's amazing.
Go ahead. Which is good, I was going to add, because that's not always the case. And as an author, I know firsthand that, you know, sometimes you aren't necessarily given creative input into, you know, your book covers. Sometimes they'll ask you, you know, about the background of the cover, what you have in mind, and a little bit about the characters and their characteristics, and sometimes... And then you sometimes get the book covers like, oh, here it is. Do you like it? And you're like, whoa,
right,
wait.
Right.
Well, you know, Lisa, I think what made this exciting, honestly, was that we knew, and I know that Hope and I feel this way, and I know that our publishers feel this way, we knew that Lucinda, the character of Lucinda, was very special.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew that we had, if anything else, minimally a franchisable character, whether it's in a book form or whether it's for television or a theatrical film.
Right.
But, and so they were excited. They were as excited as we were. And so every time we had a conversation, it was almost like, you know, school kids sitting together and talking about where we could go with it and what we could do with it. And it was a very, very smooth collaboration between all of the creative people involved. And it made it really so much more fun.
Awesome. Now, before we get wrapped up hearing more from authors Hope Schenck de Michelle and Paul Marquez, I'd like to let listeners know our live chat session is open. You're welcome to comment or ask questions there. You can give us a call at 646-200-4071. And after the live show, I will be posting the recap blog and the podcast will be available on readersentertainment.com. And for those listeners that do want to check out more from Hope and Paul as we're chatting with them, you can take a look at their website. It is www.lucindaspawnshop, LucindaPawnShop.com. It is very visually appealing, so kudos to you guys because it's really exciting. So, Paul, you've been in the entertainment industry as a producer, and can you tell listeners a little bit about the process involved in, say, for instance, pitching a book or an idea for a television show to executives?
It's hard. It's not easy. It's a process. It's really because, I'll tell you why, there's as you can tell, when you look at a lot of the programs, say, on television, you'll see that there's a lot of very similar themes on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And so when one hit comes out, you're going to find 10 more hits coming out that way. And usually,
right.
You know, and because of the expense of the projects, because they're so expensive to make today, television is outrageous. And episodes can cost, you know, anywhere from $4 to $8 million per episode, that they want to make sure that they have a surefire hit. So many times they will take scripts from particular agents or particular managers that have particular showrunners that already have a guaranteed hit on the air, because it's
mm-hmm.
going to help them at least feel comfortable that the money that they're putting out will come back through advertising dollars and through
right.
market share. So it's really difficult as a talented young author to just write a great story and then to go pitch it, because it ain't going to happen that way.
Right.
You know, because you just can't send in a script. You have to send it through a manager or an agent who represents you. And then it usually takes anywhere from 2 weeks to a month for them to get back to you, whether they like it or not. And quite honestly, they won't read the entire thing. They'll read the first 5 to 10 pages. And if it grabs them, they'll send you a nice letter. If it doesn't grab them, they'll say, like, thank you very much, and thank you, and good luck in the future. So it makes it really difficult because, there again, it's become such a very hot market for good product that sells and
mm-hmm.
it attracts audiences. Because it's like, I mean, think about it. There's not only the major networks today, but look at all the cable stations and all the paid TVs that are competing against each other. I mean, the product, it has to be hot, and it has to be run by people that have a successful story. And that's the reason why it makes it difficult for young talent to break through.
Wow.
So is it easy? No, but... Like anything, you got to be determined, and you got to be committed to what you like, and stick with it, and stick with it, and stick with it. And somewhere you might get that door to open up for you. So I would say it's not hopeless, but it is difficult.
Right. Now, I ask the next question of every guest on the show, and so I'm going to pose this to both of you. What is one thing you've got to have while writing, and why?
I think the big thing with that is basically what Paul was just saying. You've got to have a lot of passion for what you're doing, and you've got to believe in it. And even though you think you've finished what you've done before you present it to anybody, you better read it a few more times and really try to analyze it and make sure that it's the very best you can make it be, because you're only going to get one shot at this, usually. Chances of getting more are pretty slim. So you've just got to have the passion to get it done. Be willing to take the no's and just keep looking under every rock for a yes.
What about you, Paul?
Yeah, and I agree with that. I agree with that. The only thing that I would add is that I've got to have my little 7-pound Yorkie next to me, Skip. Skip has to, he has final edit, and he's the one that tells me whether I'm going in the right direction or not.
He's not very critical.
He has creative input, right?
He does.
We love little Skipper. He's wonderful.
Now, for both of you, what's the sage piece of advice you've received over the years that has stuck with you?
Basically what we were just saying is stick with it. Oh, and the other thing is that people keep telling us the same thing. If you're going to write, if you're going to come up with ideas, keep doing it. Don't just keep working on the same thing for year in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
The more you write, the better you get. The more ideas you come up with, the better ideas you come up with. So you've got to live, breathe, and eat this stuff. And we love it. That's why we do it, and I think that's where the passion comes from. But you've just got to keep doing it.
And don't believe that you can't do it. Don't believe that you can't write. Because the more you write, the better you become. It's a process. It's like painting and things like that. The better you become, as you practice and practice and practice. And you surprise yourself. You can start off with a poem or a short story, but never give up, I would say, is never give up and never burn a bridge behind you.
Well, that's definitely true.
You never know when the door will open.
It's true, and you also never know, who's standing next to you, may know somebody.
So
I think that's one piece of advice. When I first went to a writer's convention and got a chance to meet a lot of authors that I have read over the years, but I never even thought for a million years that I would actually meet. And so that's one thing. One of them told me, he's like, you always, 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 always be careful what you're saying and to whom, because you never know, somebody may know somebody or be best friends with somebody, related to somebody, so you just never know.
Very true.
Right.
Very true.
And that's a good advice. That's a great advice.
So with you guys having such full plates, what do you do for downtime? what's something you like to do in your quote-unquote spare time?
Well, basically, this was our spare time. We both have day jobs. This is what we do. Like I said, we do really seriously both have day jobs. So when we're working 90% of the time, we're doing this at night. And I have to say, for all those years, every single Sunday at 10 o'clock, that was when Paul and I would get on the phone, we'd plan out at least 2 hours, and we would read and read and read to each other and sign off. Paragraph by paragraph by paragraph, once we had sent things back and forth all week long. But other than that, I mean, I am married, so we do. I travel. We travel whenever we can. Regular life, read. I like to read a lot. It's all about the story for me, so I read as many good stories as I possibly can. What about
and
you,
as
Paul?
As Hope travels, I knit. First of all,
oh, nice.
I knit scarves. So... To just kind of keep busy and keep my mind, thinking about the next project.
Yeah. You're always
thinking. I do things that to keep myself busy,
I can see where, knitting would be very therapeutic. I know a couple of authors that are serious, serious knitters. And I know one who, she told me she was taking a tatting class. And I'm like, what's that? And she said, tatting. You know tatting is, when you make like the little lace doilies and stuff. I'm like, I never knew that.
Oh, my God.
it is fun.
And it's funny because, she told me, she's like, okay, Lisa, you're going to learn how to knit. So she bought me this cute little, I want to say it looks like kind of like a little quilted bag you kind of put your needles and stuff in, but I'm not going to lie, it's still sitting up in my closet. I have not gotten to knitting yet, but that's on the to-do list along
it
with
is,
a couple
yeah.
other things.
Yeah, you surprise yourself. It's not as difficult as it really seems. Once you get the hang of that, which would in the first 10 minutes, then you just continue to go, and it just goes, it goes, it goes, it goes. It's so repetitive. That's what it is. It's just
I admire the fact that Paul can sit still that long.
Yeah, well, and many times I'm not even sitting that long. I'm walking around doing it, thinking myself.
Okay, now you know you have to be good if you can walk around and knit, because
yeah.
most
oh, yeah.
people
well,
I know
there
again,
are really stationary. I only knit scarves, and when I'm really frustrated and can't think of an idea, they get really long, okay?
I have to tell you, my husband and I do have several scarves that Paul has
done. I was
going to
say, so what you're saying, Paul, is everybody you know in the California, Los Angeles area has a scarf.
That's it.
or could have, yes.
Now, what's next for both of you? Any solo projects as far as writing goes?
I can't speak for Paul, but I don't know if I could even do it without Paul. He's my sounding board. He's my person that I come up with an idea, something good happens, I call him on the phone and I'll say, guess what, somebody's interested in the game show or somebody's interested in this or that. So for me, I mean, we've been writing like this for years and years and years, and so everything we do is a collaborative sort of thing. But we do also have another story, and we of course have our list of things that we do. We have this game show that we've been working on and a couple of reality ideas. But one other big thing, we've really kind of gotten into the dramas that we love writing. So we have another fantasy idea, urban fantasy, based on another myth. So that is something that's in the works right now, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, that is exciting.
What's nice is that, you know, when you find somebody that knows your writing inside and out, you know, I have an author buddy that she and I kind of got into the game at the same time, and so I've known her like over 10 years now, and it's funny how she'll bounce some ideas off me, and, you know, I'll go yay or I'll go nay, and I'm better with coming up with ideas sometimes for her stuff and likewise she for me, and it's funny when I'll run something by her, and I think it's the most hysterical or cool thing ever, and she's looking at me like, no. And I'm like, what? What do you mean no? What about this, this, and this? Or she goes, hey, Lisa, you know, what about this? Do you think this is good? And I'm like, you know, but it's really important
well,
that
to
be
honest.
To have that.
Yeah, that's important to have.
Yeah, it's really
like,
important
you know,
to have
you
that
definitely, as an author, you definitely don't need somebody blowing sunshine up your skirt. You really just need somebody to tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Absolutely.
And I mean, I think that makes you a better writer, definitely.
I agree.
You guys have any upcoming events you'd like to share with listeners?
Well, we're kind of on the other side. The book came out July 14th nationwide. It was out a little bit before that on BookNook. But we just finished we just did conventions. We've done Barnes & Noble book signings. We've done it's kept us so busy for 2 months that actually kind of looking forward to not so much for a little bit. We need to get back on track and keep writing. We got to get ready for book two. You know, just keep the ball rolling. So literally every weekend was taken up and several evenings and that sort of thing. These things are a little intensive and nerve-wracking because it's not what we're used to doing.
So I want to give you guys the opportunity real quick because we're almost out of time to let listeners know how to get in touch with both of you.
Paul, you want to answer that one?
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, you know, both the website and Facebook, the Hindrance Pawn Shop Facebook, you can leave comments there. We welcome them. We'll answer you back. We can talk about, you know, what it is that they think about the project or any question they want to ask us at all. And all the information... characters, anything at all. We welcome feedback. We look forward to that. So, you know, lucindaspawnshop.com or the Facebook Lucinda's Pawn Shop. They'll find it, how to contact us and what we actually look like.
Great. Well, I would like to thank you both for joining me tonight, Hope and Paul. It has been such a pleasure having you this evening.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Alrighty.
And I'd like to let our listeners know, thanks for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget, you can find us at www.readersentertainment.com. I will be adding the recap blog for Hope and Paul's show later this evening. If you like, you can leave a comment there about tonight's show. We would love to hear from you. I'm your host, Lisa Watson, saying thank you for joining me. Be inspired and happy reading. Good night, guys.
Thank you.
Nice.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.